Welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you're here with us today. I want to say a warm welcome to all of you who are joining us from various churches across the Bay Area. Those of you who are from Western Hills Church in San Mateo, glad you're joining us. Everybody from the Crossroads family in Fremont, good to see you as well. We're so excited about our partnership with you and becoming one church this summer. And then, of course, everybody who's a part of our Echo family all over the Bay Area, those of you who are joining us across the country and literally all over the world, welcome. Happy Easter. We would love to know that you're with us, and we would actually love to know where you're joining us from so that we can celebrate Easter with you. Now, Easter, for me personally, is one of my favorite holidays of the year. In fact, as a pastor, I look forward to Easter all year long. First of all, because on this day, we get to celebrate the most important event in all of human history. In addition to that, there's all these other really cool things that happen with Easter, like the Easter bunny coming and getting lots of candy and dressing up and taking pictures of Easter eggs with the kids, all that I look forward to. And I look forward to joining physically with our church every Easter and celebrating. This Easter has really been different for me personally. And I think even there's a lot of sadness that I've experienced knowing that a lot of what I love at Easter, I'm not getting to experience. At the same time, the meaning and the message of Easter has not lost any of its significance. In fact, perhaps the meaning of Easter is more important than any other time in our lives that we've experienced. You know, one of the questions I think a lot of us are wrestling through in the midst of this COVID crisis is, where is the finish line? When is this thing going to be over? And I think that the uncertainty of a finish line has thrown all of our lives out of balance and made us wonder, like, how do I plan for the future? I've heard stories of some of you that you're wrestling through. What does it look like for your wedding? How do you do a wedding in COVID crisis? Others of you, you're pregnant and expecting, and you're trying to figure out, what do you do? Do you let the grandparents come in? Who holds the baby? Others of you are dealing with the reality that your kids are not going back to school until August or September, and there's a lot that comes with that. Students and kids, you're dealing with the reality that you're going to have to spend a lot of time with your parents for the next few months, and we're all wrestling through, where is the finish line? How long is our hair going to be? I'm even thinking about that, like, what is my hair going to look like at the end of this crisis? And there are greater questions that we're wrestling through as well. The economic implications and the number of deaths that will come. And that finish line really does matter. It reminds me of one time I went on a trip to Laos, and we were hiking back and forth from village to village, and we were going into this remote village that took multiple hours to get to. We had a Laotian tour guide who could speak very little English, and he had one phrase that he repeated over and over and over again. In fact, we kept asking him how much longer, like little kids asking their parents, how far do we have to go on the trip? And he kept saying over and over and over, 2 more miles, 2 more miles, 2 more miles. And it seemed like it was 20 more miles by the time we got to our destination. Now, if he was really smart, he would have said 25 more miles, not 2 more miles. Because by the time we got there, we were all exhausted. We just kept thinking that the finish line was over the next hill, across the next rice field. And it brings me to this very powerful proverb from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, that we all feel in the midst of this crisis. It says, "Hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." I wonder if you feel like you have some hopes that have been deferred. And I wonder if even that emotion for you is weighing heavy on your heart today. I believe that your understanding and my understanding of the finish line makes all the difference. And where you see that finish line and what you think about when you think about the finish line of both the crisis and your life will determine whether or not your heart is sick in the midst of this or if you have hope. We're going to look today at the early story of Jesus, the moment when Jesus was crucified, the first Easter. And I want today for us to enter into that moment together. I want us to try to remember what it might have felt like or to think what it might have felt like to be one of the early followers of Jesus. Luke, who went on this hunt to get all the details he could as a historian, about 30 years after the life of Jesus, would write this letter. It was a historical account of the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 23, I want us to look at that moment when Jesus was crucified and he breathed his last breath and think about how the early followers of Jesus would have had their hopes dashed. See, for them, they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and the finish line that they had in mind was very different than what they're about to experience. Their finish line was this expectation that Jesus would be placed onto a physical throne, a political kingdom that would come to fruition, and all of them would be ruling, and they would overthrow the Roman government, but it seems to end very differently than they expected. In chapter 23, verse 44, it says, "By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. This is the moment where Jesus is hanging on a cross, and he has nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head and nails in his feet, and he is about to breathe his last physical breath before he gives up his life. And even for you today, I wonder if maybe you feel a little bit like darkness has fallen over your life, that there is a sense in which your life is very different than you thought it would be. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you know somebody who's passed away, and there's a sadness, a darkness that you feel. In that moment, the disciples are there, and it says that the light from heaven or the light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. It was ripped in two, and Jesus shouted out, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." At that moment, Jesus physically would breathe his last breath. One other account, Jesus would make the statement, "It is finished." And for the disciples, it seems like this is the finish line. Some Roman soldiers are standing there, and it says that there was a Roman officer overseeing, watching this execution. And as he sees it, he worships God and says, "Surely this man was innocent." Somehow this Roman soldier has a different perspective than the disciples and Jesus' followers. In fact, it says when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what happened, they went home in deep sorrow. Maybe it was like partly because watching somebody be executed, or perhaps it was their expectation of Jesus being the Messiah. But his disciples, even his close friends who spent tremendous amounts of time with him, are completely distraught. It says that his friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching all of this unfold, watching as it seems as though everything is completely out of control. I wonder today if you feel like your life is completely out of control. Certainly when you turn the TV on or you watch the news on your phone or you talk to other people, the world seems like it's out of control. And when you and I, like the early followers of Jesus, have the wrong finish line in mind, we lose our hope. We lose our sense of direction. And these powerful words of Jesus, when he says, "It is finished," are so important. Was that the finish line? Was that the point in which it's all over? Your finish line really does matter. And how you see and perceive those words that Jesus says makes all the difference. I'm reminded even this week in the midst of the COVID crisis of a very powerful story of General Stockdale. And he was taken captive in Vietnam War as a prisoner of war. And he gives this very, very powerful image of the difference between those who made it through captivity and those who lost their lives.
I would like to give you a way of thinking that has been enormously helpful to me, that came from the Good to Great research for dealing with great difficulty. And it was what we came to call the Stockdale Paradox. And the Stockdale Paradox was taught to us by, when we were doing the Good to Great research, we're trying to make sense of the CEOs. And in doing that, I just by chance happened to get to know Admiral Jim Stockdale, who was the highest ranking military officer in the Hanoi Hilton, shot down in 1967, was there till 1974. They could pull him out at any time and torture him, and they did. He tortured over 20 times. And I had the privilege to get to know Admiral Stockdale, and we were going to the faculty club one day, and I had read his book in Love and War, which was written in alternating chapters by himself and his wife about their years when he was in the camp. And I got depressed reading the book because it seemed so bleak, it seemed so difficult, it seemed, you know, it's like we can all endure anything if we know it's going to come to an end and we know when. But what if you don't know if it's ever going to come to an end? And you certainly don't know when. So I asked Admiral Stockdale how he dealt with that, and he said, you have to realize I never got depressed because I never, ever wavered in my faith that not only I would get out, but I would turn being in the camp into the defining event of my life that in retrospect I would not trade. Later, when we were up the hill, I asked him, I said, Admiral Stockdale, who didn't make it out as strong as you? And he said, easy, it was the optimists. I said, the optimists? You sounded optimistic. He said, no, I was not optimistic. I never wavered in my faith that I would prevail in the end, but I was not optimistic. I said, what's the difference? Well, the optimists always thought we'd be out by Christmas. Of course, Christmas would come and it would go. And then we were going to be out by Easter and Thanksgiving, and then Christmas would come again, and they died of a broken heart. And that's when Admiral Stockdale grabbed me by the shoulders and said, this is what I learned. When you're facing, you're imprisoned by great calamity, by great difficulty, by great uncertainty, you have to, on the one hand, never confuse the need for unwavering faith that you will find a way to prevail in the end, with, on the other hand, the discipline to confront the most brutal facts we actually face. And we're not getting out of here by Christmas.
Jesus' followers at this point are facing the reality of his physical death. And I want that just to set in for a minute, because we celebrate Easter, we celebrate an empty tomb, but for them, there was the moment where it seemed like it was all over. In fact, his body was at this point taken away, and the women from Galilee, the scripture says that they followed him to the tomb where his body was placed, and they went in and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. And by the time, listen to these words, by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as required by the law. So they had a finish line. In fact, in Jewish culture, the end of the day, Friday, was the finish line. It was the day when their week was over and they went to a new week, and they would work and they would try to get all their work done right before the finish line. And as Jesus is placed into a grave, their week is over and they move into the Sabbath day. And I want us to think about what that Sabbath day must have been like. Because in the Easter story, there's Friday, there's the day that Jesus was crucified, but there was also a Sabbath day, a Saturday in the midst of that, where his body laid there lifeless, no breath, no physical response from Jesus. And his followers thought it was all over. They thought it was finished. And for you and I, again, our finish line, both in COVID and with our lives, makes all the difference. Where you see the finish line is going to determine whether or not you live with hope or your heart stays sick. And I want to encourage you today that you can fix the finish line. In fact, fixing the finish line will fix your hope. If you want to have more hope, you got to understand where the finish line actually is. See, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve as those who have no hope. Now, notice that Paul doesn't put the period after grieve. Grief is a part of life. Grief is a part of the struggle that we all walk through. In fact, some of you are grieving very deeply right now. Perhaps you're grieving the loss of somebody that you deeply love. Grieving the loss of a job, grieving the loss of a dream. It's so important to recognize that grief is actually not the opposite of hope. It's possible to have hope in the midst of grief. It's despair that is the opposite of hope. And when you live with desperation, it's because, or you live with despair, it's because you have the wrong finish line. And perhaps right now, you feel like you're in darkness, where your life feels like there is no light. The light has been taken out. Corrie ten Boom said one time, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the driver. The story was not over yet. In fact, the very next morning, on Sunday morning, those early followers of Jesus would go back to the tomb one more time. Still, they thought it was finished. They thought it was over. But in verse 1 of chapter 24, the scripture says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Taking the spices they had prepared, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. And then I love how he says this. He said, the angel says to them, remember what he told you when you were in Galilee. He already told you the cross was not the finish line. There was another finish line. He was going to conquer the grave. All along, he's been talking about this. The Bible has been pointing, your Bible has been pointing to his death and his resurrection, that he would conquer the grave. He told you. So why do you not believe? And I wonder today, even in the midst of crisis, if there are things that you've heard from God that you've forgotten, that deep within your soul, that you maybe even know to be true, but you've started to doubt whether or not those things are true. Perhaps even for you, your mind is so set on the finish line of COVID, and you're living with such tremendous despair, with grief, and your life seems like it's hopeless. I want to encourage you today that you can fix your hope when you fix the finish line. The Apostle Paul would write and he would say, if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died and believe in also are all who have died and believe in Christ. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're to be pitied more than anybody else in this world. He's saying that if it's only for this physical life that we have hope, and if it's only in our circumstances that we can have confidence, we're to be pitied. But then he says, but in fact, notice his words here. He is saying this has happened. Paul was one of the hundreds of people that encountered the risen Christ. And he says, but in fact, he has been raised from the dead and he is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. I love that. It gives us hope. And I want to encourage you today to change your finish line, to change the finish line that you have your eyes fixed upon, to realize that COVID being over is not the finish line. There's another finish line where Jesus will return, and he has told us with his words that he is coming back. And we can have hope beyond our circumstances. See, this whole situation that we're facing globally, one of the greatest pandemics that has happened over the last 100 years, the reason why it causes so much fear is because of two things. Number one, it causes us to realize that ultimately we are not in control. And number two, it causes all of us to have to deal with the reality of death. But to those of us who follow Jesus, our finish line is not this life. Our finish line is that moment when we slip from this life to the next and we stand before Jesus. And we have the promise that he'll return, that he's coming back, that this life at some point is going to be over. I recently have been so encouraged by the story of Katie from our church, Katie Bella. She started coming to Echo about 8 years ago. And at the time that she started coming to Echo, she was disconnected from God. There was so much grief in her heart. I remember standing outside of our service the first time she came and just praying over her as she wept and just experiencing God's love for the first time, how deeply he loved her. Over the 7 years, I watched her grow. I watched her life change. She became a part of our prayer team. She has so much joy in her life and became a very significant part of what God started to do through our church. Well, a few months ago, Katie, she got sick with cancer, and basically the doctor told her that this life was over. A couple weeks ago, before she passed away, I went to visit her with Stacy in the hospital and experienced something that is so supernatural, a sense of peace in her heart, knowing that she would very soon be in the presence of Jesus. And she slipped from this life to the next, right in the moment that COVID was kind of taking off. In fact, I've thought about her, how what she's experiencing is so different than everybody else who's stuck here on planet Earth. And just like Katie will slip from this life to the next, you will as well. You and I will all stand before God and give an account for what we did with this life. And the only hope that we have, it's not in our good behavior, it's not in religion, it's not in how hard we try spiritually. It's ultimately in the fact that Jesus, the God who created the universe, came in human flesh and went to a cross as a perfect, sinless human being. And there, as he was crucified, in his moment of greatest need physically, would say to his heavenly Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And after being placed into a grave, he would conquer the grave. All these early followers of Jesus went around spreading this good news. In fact, that was the label they gave to it. It's good news, and it changed everything. And now they started living with a new finish line in mind. And as they changed their finish line, there was hope that they experienced. In fact, that hope made them willing to suffer for their faith in Jesus, made so many of them willing to die for their faith in this message. And today I wonder, where's your finish line fixed? Like, what's your eyes on at this moment? And perhaps today you can fix the finish line by changing your mindset and ultimately opening your heart to the God of the universe to begin relationship with him. Now, I know that there are some of you who are joining us today, you're already following Jesus. And perhaps you've just been looking at this situation the wrong way. And God says, "I want to fix your finish line today. And I want you to live in light of the empty tomb and in light of the reality that I'll come back." And today, if you make that shift in your mindset, I believe that God will fill your heart with his hope. Even though there might still be grief, there will be a kind of hope that fills you right now in this moment. Now, there are others of you today that you're here, and today is the day that you're going to turn your heart over to Jesus. You're going to trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins. You're going to choose to follow him with your life. That decision that you make in your heart, that you believe in your mind, changes everything. And I want to invite you right now in this moment to turn your life over to Jesus. You can trust in him, and you can be filled with hope and confidence right now in this moment through relationship with him. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray a prayer from your heart right now in this moment. Just say, "Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. I believe that you overcame the grave, and I surrender control of my life to you right now. Please forgive me for my sins. In Jesus' name, amen." If you just prayed that prayer with me, I want to celebrate. That's the most important decision that you will ever make with your life. In fact, right now, as we begin to wrap up our time together, I want to encourage you to join me in what we call our annual survey here as a church. You're going to see on the screen here, if you go to echo.church/connect, you can let us know if you just made that decision to follow Jesus so that we can help you. Also in the chat feed, you'll see there's a place where you can click and you can just go straight into that survey and you can let us know of this decision. And there are different groups of people. So every year at Easter time, we do this annual survey to try to figure out how we can best help you in your journey spiritually. And you'll see on this survey, a place where you can indicate if you made a first-time decision to follow Jesus right there. Just click that box. Now, there are others of you who are here today, and we want to invite you also to let us know where you are spiritually. Some of you, maybe today, you're exploring faith and you're not a follower of Jesus yet. We have some resources that we'd love to give to you to help you in your exploration and in your journey, if you'll just click that box. Others of you today, you've already made a decision to follow Jesus, and today was an opportunity to renew your hope. Let us know about that. Or finally, maybe you're in the group where you're a part of another religion and you're just here because somebody invited you to join and sent you the link. Just click on that other. And no matter where you are in your journey spiritually, we want to continue to be a resource to help you take next steps, to help you explore what you believe, and for those of you who are followers of Jesus, to be further grounded in your faith. Now, before we wrap up and I pray a blessing over you, I want to lead you in a moment for us who call Echo Church our home, in a moment of generosity. I've been really encouraged for us as a church how so many of you have stepped up in the midst of this crisis to allow us to make an even greater contribution in our community and ultimately in the Bay Area. I've been encouraged as we've been giving together. You'll see even here on the screen a place where you can give if you're a part of our Echo family, or maybe even if you're joining for the first time, I want to invite you into that. But one of the projects that we've been giving to is a project called Echo Compassion. And all of those resources that have been given to Echo Compassion are going beyond the walls of Echo to help other churches, to help people in our community who are in need. And I heard a story of some people who were placed into El Rio Hotel to be quarantined, so they're not able to live at home. And because of your generosity, we were able to take them care packages this week. We're able to write notes of encouragement, to love on them. Even you'll see some pictures here of people that have been ministered to through Echo Compassion. Your generosity is allowing that to happen. So if you're giving for the first time, we want to encourage you, invite you even to participate and just click on that link, give to Echo Compassion. Others of you who are part of Echo, as you automate your generosity to our church, it helps us know that you're with us. It helps us know what kind of a difference we can make in the community here. So I want to say thank you literally to dozens of you who have made that decision. And as you give today, we're so grateful. I've been so blown away by your faithfulness as a church, that when many churches have had to step back in the crisis because of resources, we've been able to step forward together and make even a greater difference. And you're making that happen through your faithfulness. So thank you for giving today. Thank you for those of you who've indicated next steps and the decisions that you're making. I want to pray for you as we send it back to our campus hosts. Father, thank you today for your grace and mercy over our lives and the privilege that we have to follow you this Easter. And although the Easter message that we are celebrating, we're celebrating it so differently than we would on a typical Easter, I pray that you would fill our hearts with even a greater sense of hope today, that this message, which is true as it's ever been, has the power in the midst of crisis to fuel our soul with confidence that the finish line is not COVID, the finish line is your return. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.